Hey guys, just hopping on here really quick. Why did I just have a weird accent? Oh my god, whoa. My voice just recycled through like six accents right there. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I just wanted to state before this episode begins that as I was editing it and listening to it back, I kind of realized how privileged I sound. And in some instances, I even maybe sound a little bit entitled, which I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I am a bit entitled. My skin color, my age, my generation, my country, my pretty privilege, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to deny any of that. But please know that I was just kind of coming from a place of trying to commiserate with you guys, connect with you guys, be relatable, and just share my own personality and my own experiences. And I just wanted to kind of apologize if I left anybody out, which I obviously did. Like, I obviously left certain demographics of people in certain situations out. When I'm speaking about working from home, just working in general, money, I understand that there's lots of people out there who don't have the option or the privilege to work from home or to choose their own hours or to create their own schedules. And I am aware of that. Obviously, sometimes when I'm just talking shit, I don't think about all the different layers, and that's something I'm going to try to work on. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of give that little caveat before the episode starts. But anyway, I do sound a little bit like a privileged white basic bitch in this episode, and that's kind of me, even though it's very unlikable, I'm sure. I hope you could listen to this episode with a grain of salt and just understand that I was trying to be kind of silly and kind of funny, but I was also just speaking from my own experience and my own point of view, which does happen to be from a position of privilege. And hopefully I don't offend anybody. I don't really see how I would offend anybody. I might just annoy some people. And if that's the case, then maybe this episode just is not for you, and you can sign off and maybe we can reconnect in another episode in the future. Okay, love you. Bye. Hi guys. It's Darla wants in the room. I can't leave her out there. Hold on. I'll be right back. Sorry, guys. Motherhood is a never-ending job, truly. Darla's cuddled up beside me now. I had her outside hoping that she would cuddle with my dad because my dad's a little bit sick and she just wanted to be with mama. Everyone sends Steve and his partner Christine well wishes. I got them sick, like the bozo I am, but like when you are in close quarters with people, there's not that much you can do. I was trying to wear a mask, wash my hands, and I still got them sick. But like literally everybody in the world is sick right now, so it's kind of unavoidable. But I hope everyone listening is doing well. I cannot truly believe that it is almost May. Like, what the actual fuck? Where has this year gone? Like, when I think of the fact that I've been home for nearly a year now, like back in Kingston, I actually want to projectile vomit everywhere because this year has truly sucked. And when I mean year, I don't mean 2023, because 2023 has actually been good in quite a few ways. But like basically April to April of 2022 to 2023 has been the worst year of my life. Just in terms of so many things, like I've gained weight, I've been through three heartbreaks now, guys. It used to be two, now it's three. That's a story we'll get into soon. I recently, probably about 4 days ago, had my heart crushed once again. We love that for me. We love being in our mid-20s and dating immature, mediocre men. But we'll get into that in a different day. But yeah, basically, I just want to have a full-fledged panic attack when I think about the fact that COVID technically started like 3 years ago in terms of March 2020. And I honestly feel like I've lost 3 years of life in a way, which I know is not really a fair excuse. Like I moved to Victoria. I went back and did a trip to England. Like I've done what I can. I've had relationships. I've done some stuff. It's not been a total waste, but just I feel like there could have been so much more adventure and fun and travel and substance in the last few years. And I'm sure a lot of other people in their 20s feel that way.
And I just low-key feel like a big part of my youth has been, like, ripped away from me, and I'm so resentful about it and, like, so panicked that I'm like, fuck, I'm almost 27 now. I'm going to need to, like, because I do want to have a family one day. It's like I'm going to need to start thinking about that relatively soon and, like, potentially settling down and deciding what city I want to live in, deciding if I want to invest in a house or not, if I want to keep renting. Like, it's just a lot. And in my head, I'm still mentally the age that I was when COVID happened, I swear. Like, I'm still 20, 23, or however old I was when 23, I think. Like, that's where I want to be. Like, that's, I want to just go back to that time. But not fully, because the amount of, like, mental, emotional, spiritual growth that I've gone through in the last few years is actually amazing. Like, no, I haven't necessarily been traveling the world and, like, living my most fabulous life. It's been pretty low key the last few years, but I think that was somewhat necessary for me to be able to, like, ground myself and heal myself and, like, do a lot of work on my anxiety, do a lot of work on my eating disorder. I really do feel like a wiser, more self-sufficient, more compassionate, stronger version of myself than I was when I was 22. So although sometimes I romanticize being young and free, and I also, like, don't want to go back to that place because I felt just so uncomfortable in my head, in my body, in my life, if that makes sense to you guys. But anyway, I don't know why I'm going on this tangent. I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about kind of, like, the 3-year anniversary, so to speak, of kind of COVID. And the only thing, in some ways, I think there has been a few positive elements about COVID. Not obviously, need to preface this with, like, not at all speaking about the loss of life, people suffering, people losing family members, people being absolutely traumatized. Like, it was a very traumatic time for everybody, whether you lost somebody or not. Like, it was just unfortunately, I was going to say a once-in-a-lifetime cataclysmic event, but that's probably not the case for our generation. We probably will experience more pandemics in our lifetime. Yay! But it was a very divisive time for people. It was an extremely strenuous time for my personal family and my romantic relationship at the time. I definitely recognize that it was not good vibes. You know, like, suicide rates went up, eating disorder rates went up, mental health disorders. But, like, I think it was in some ways a blessing in disguise for some people in terms of forcing some people to reconsider their priorities, maybe to shift their work-life balance, maybe to take on new hobbies or to start cooking for themselves or to spend more time with family. Like, I think in some ways it was like this big red button that was just like, stop. And everybody, like, this entire world came to this grinding halt. Some people, sorry if you can hear my dad coughing in the background, he can't help it. He's a sick little bunny rabbit. But it really showed a lot of people, like, how much of a cog in the machine they were. And, like, I think a lot of people started their own businesses or started working for themselves, or because it was like, am I just really spending 40 hours in an office away from my kids, away from my dogs, to, like, line somebody else's pocket, like some CEO of a company who literally doesn't care about me personally? And I think people just realized, not everybody, obviously, doctors, nurses, teachers, all of those people were, like, revered and appreciated as they should be during the pandemic. But, like, a lot of other people, you know, working retail or working in corporate or whatever, I think a lot of people just realize how indispensable they were. Sorry, how dispensable? Yeah, dispensable. How, like, replaceable, dispensable they were to their companies. And then people had to, like, it was just a messed up time. And I think in some ways, including me, it forced a lot of people to slow down, because I was just, like, literally flying off the seat of my pants, like, jumping from country to country, from relationship to relationship. Like, my life was truly a movie for several years before COVID, which was so much fun, but also extremely difficult. And, like, and so now I've been forced to kind of take a step back and ground myself a little bit and be a little bit more realistic with my thoughts and my ambitions and my plans. And it's been good, because I'm finding I'm creating this meeting of my head and my heart when I'm planning my life. And it's derived from obviously my goals and my hopes and my dreams, but also a little bit more of a mature, pragmatic standpoint of like, okay, well, I want to have kids and I want to be able to invest my money in this. And like, I was not thinking about that stuff at all a few years ago. So as much as I hate to admit it, I do think slowing down a bit and being just like a boring person the last few years, to be quite honest, like staying at home, spending a lot of time by myself, being in a committed relationship, like blah, 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 like so boring. We hate that for me. I hate that. But I do think it's been good for me. But I'm kind of, now that I feel like I've made a lot of progress and healed some deep wounds and gotten to know myself better, I'm like, okay, let's fuck it up again. Let's have fun again. I'm like, I'm single. Let's go. Let's go. So I have 4 years left, 3 years left, three and a half, three. I'm being generous. I have 3 years left of my 20s. And then I'm probably going to have to change the name of this podcast. But my mid-20s were horrendous. Like, my early 20s were hilarious and so much fun. My mid-20s were boring and difficult and stressful. And now in my late 20s, I'm just going to live it up, guys. But I'm going to do it this time with like a better mental headspace and more strength and more wisdom and more self-esteem. And I think that's going to be really awesome. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for all of the tea. I'm trying to convince my mom to go on a trip with me at some point this year, but both of us are like trying to save money. But I'm like, Mom, I need to do something. I need to go somewhere, please. Yeah, so that's sort of an update from me. I feel like this is probably going to be a stupidly long episode because I haven't podcasted in forever, and I have so much to say, and I've been watching so many commentary videos on YouTube lately. That's just been my new little addiction, like reality TV commentary, like racism commentary, fat phobia commentary, feminist commentary. Like, it's just been, I didn't really know that these people, these like young, intelligent women and men were doing like commentary channels on YouTube, and they put in all this research, and it's like, it's pretty legitimate. But it's not as serious or indoctrinating necessarily as like a documentary or something. It's like a little bit more approachable, but it really does open your eyes and open your mind to a lot of things that you might not have thought about. And it's just got me thinking a little bit deeper about a lot of things. And one of the ones that I recently sort of listened to was just a little bit of a dissection on like working from home culture. And so I thought, I have a lot to say about that because two of my current jobs are working from home. And I've had experiences on and off the last few years since COVID of working from home versus working in like an actual workplace and office. And I have many thoughts. And I also think, sorry guys, I just burped. I also think this pertains quite a bit to being in your 20s. 20-somethings podcast. There we go. Full circle, bringing it around. Because pretty much everybody in their 20s is either currently working from home, wants to work from home, did work from home at a time, maybe their partners work from home, their friends work from home, whatever. It's like very common now, but unfortunately I do think it's becoming less common, which I hate to see. This is like the one thing from COVID that I want to stick forever and ever and ever. Like, also just like the fact that I used to like bounce around like the London tube system and just not sanitize my hands, or like I used to just go to a nightclub and like touch things all night and like dance and like fall on the floor and stuff and then like go home and like clean my face without like washing my hands in between. Like, I actually cannot fathom how many like so I do appreciate the fact that I'm way more conscious of like cleanliness and germs and like stranger danger in terms of like, I don't want some random person touching me, coming near me. Like, if you're a friend, family member, that's different. But like, even my little kids I teach, like, love them to death, but they are little germ, like they are little walking germs, and they will run up to me and want to give me a big hug or want to like whatever, jump all over me. And I truly am like, stay away, child. Like, it's more for me just the germs. Like, I'm like, I love you, cute little baby, but like, please do not jump all over me and touch me, because I'm not going to be able to teach you next week because I'm going to be stuck at home sick because you're probably full of germs. So that's another thing I appreciate about the pandemic, is that it's made a lot of people a little bit more like conscientious of not getting other people sick and making sure that they're washing their hands and washing their surfaces at their establishments. Like, we love to see that. We really do. But I truly think working from home is not for everybody, but it is for me 110%. Like, when I tell you, in my couple month job search there a few months ago, like, I was strictly looking for work from home. Like, I could have found the best possible job, like, great benefits, great wage, and it was like relocate to, first of all, it was like a lot of them were asking me to relocate to God knows where, and I'm like, no. Like, the fact that people used to move to like a different city or a different province or whatever for a job, like, that blows my mind. Like, that is such a huge commitment to make for a job. Meanwhile, here I am moving to different countries every 5 seconds for men. But I'm like, that's just scary. I mean, I guess it's one thing if you've already been with this company for like 15 years and they want to relocate you to another office. Like, that's one thing because you already have a history with the branch and stuff. But to just like take a random job that you don't even know if you're going to like, you don't know if you're going to vibe with your coworkers, you don't know if the job's going to last or if they're just going to randomly let you go after 6 months, like, to just relocate your whole life, like, oh my God, unless it's your dream job, like, I just truly can't fathom that. But then so many of these jobs are also saying like, no work from home, no hybrid, like, you need to be in the office, you need to, you know, dress professionally, boo, you need to like pack a lunch every day, boo. Like, I just can't. I love working from home so much. I am truly one of those millennial bitches who is like, work from home all day every day, like, never going back. And I remember Amanda, you guys know Amanda, co-host 20 somethings podcast, she said on the podcast, but she used to say to me all the time, like, she doesn't get to anymore, I don't think, but she got to work from home quite a bit during the pandemic. And she was like, it's truly the best thing ever. She was like, I would literally take like a 15% pay cut from my job, from my annual salary, if I could work from home. Like, and I think a lot of people honestly do feel that way. But I also think part of it is where I'm at in life right now. Like, I don't have kids. I don't have like a husband or a boyfriend. So it's like, my space is just like my haven. And it's just all about me, myself, and I. I do wonder if I had like kids running around and like my husband also worked from home, I do wonder if I would be like, get me the fuck out of here. I need my own space. I need my own time to myself. But even still, I just don't think that I would want to go back into an office. And here is the reasons why. Keep in mind, guys, this is all just my personal opinion, like my own lifestyle. Like, I am a Taurus. I am lazy. I'm a hard worker when it's time to work, but like, otherwise lazy. And that's just a Taurus. Like, we love being in bed. We love being comfortable. We love like picking what we want to do and not being like forced into things. And I don't miss, first of all, the stress of like having to pick an outfit every day, having to do my hair, having to do my makeup, having to like shower, wear deodorant, perfume, brush my teeth. Like, now I film the news every morning. Kingston's News, guys, if you want to check it out, which is great. And I do have to do hair and makeup, or at least makeup. I don't always do my hair, to be honest. And I have to put on a cute top because all you see is the top, but I always still have like pajama pants or sweatpants on the bottom, but like nobody can see. Same with Zoom calls or meetings. Like, I always obviously put on an appropriate top and like maybe a little bit of makeup, but I don't ever have like anything but sweatpants on underneath and slippers. Also, like, if I don't have, like, nobody's going to notice if I didn't brush my teeth yet, if I didn't get to that, or if I don't have deodorant on, like, nobody's going to know except for me. So that's kind of nice. Like, you have to do a little bit to make yourself presentable when you work from home, but you don't have to do everything. And you also don't have to pack a lunch. I used to have to pack my lunches before, the night before, because I would be so stressed because I'd have to walk the dog and get ready and do all these things before I went into work. And now it's just like, okay, it's my lunch break. I'm going to go make a proper meal for myself in the kitchen, and it's going to be nice and warm, and it's going to be like, I can actually sit out on my balcony or whatever and enjoy my meal and spend time with my dog. Or on my lunch break, I can go take my dog on the walk, or I can go quickly to the gym and do a half hour workout. Like, you can kind of just plan your day in the moment, I think. And like, instead of having to pre-plan your day 100% in advance, like, pack your gym clothes to work, pack your lunch to work, pack your chargers, like everything you might need. Like, it's just a lot. And you feel sometimes like you're living out of your car or like living out of a bag. And I don't I don't want to, I used to do that for years when I was traveling and stuff, like that was 100% my lifestyle, but I don't really want to do that anymore. I like being able to kind of take things a little more slowly and just see how I'm feeling. It's like, you know what? It's actually 2 o'clock. And normally if I was in an office, I'd have to take my lunch at 12 o'clock. But I wasn't hungry. So I kept working and now it's 2 o'clock and I'm going to go eat lunch now because I can kind of choose my own hours and I can kind of figure out my own schedule, which is the other thing. Not every work from home job is like this. Mine are all relatively flexible and they gave me a bit of a time frame. Like you have to work this many hours per week. You have to, you know, be present on these meetings on this day and this day. But other than that, like you do you, girl. Like if you want to work at night, you can. If you want to work in the morning, you can. I mean, obviously my news job, I have to work in the morning. But even within that, it's like as long as you get the news out before 11 a.m., like that's on you. So there's some days I get up nice and early and I get it done. And there's some days if I'm feeling a little tired, I might sleep in an extra half an hour and be a little bit later, but I always get it up on time. There's days for all of these jobs where I'm like, hi, I'm going to work Saturday instead of Tuesday because I have an appointment Tuesday. And they're like, great, cool. Like, we love that. We love that flexibility. We love that it's all about self-accountability and like self-discipline. Like, and to me, I do understand why a lot of employers are like, oh, I hate working from home because I feel like my employees are just goofing around and not doing anything. Which I understand that stress, but I also think if the quality of work is good and the work is getting done, then what do you have to complain about? You know, I understand if someone's not getting anything done, not listening, not attending meetings, not contributing to emails, like if someone's just like checked out of a job, then of course they should probably be fired. But if someone is not necessarily sitting down and toiling 8 hours a day on their computer, but they're still getting good quality work done and they're still getting all of their tasks done, but it's only taking them 6 hours a day and they're taking a little bit more time to themselves. Why is that such a bad thing? And I guess all these companies and stuff have certain quotas and certain expectations, but it just feels, again, like it's all systematically created to really just like benefit the 1% of people at the top and not at all to benefit like the well-being or the livelihood of the actual workers. And I remember like working in offices, or not necessarily offices, like I've worked at some museums, I've worked at tourism destinations, like I worked at Titanic Belfast, I worked at Craig Derrick Castle in Victoria, I've worked at pools as a lifeguard, I've worked at camps as a camp counselor, I've worked at clothing stores, all of these restaurants. All these places you have to go in, you have to get ready, you have to pack food, you have to pack changes of clothing, whatever the heck it is you're going to need for the day, and you have to go and you have to leave the house. And none of those were work from home, and none of those could really be work from home. Like you obviously can't lifeguard from home, you can't waitress from home. And the anxiety I would feel, guys, like I cannot even describe it. Like I would have such a pit in my stomach the night before, knowing I'd have to get up and go into work, knowing I'd have to see that those one or two people I didn't like at work, whether it be like my boss or a coworker that I didn't like, or if there was tension in the office or at the workplace, like I would feel such anxiety. I'd feel such anxiety thinking something was going to go wrong the next day or I was going to get in trouble for something. Like I'm just an anxious person. Like I'm on anti-anxiety medication. Like it's just my personality. I'll be anxious no matter what. Even working from home, I have a underlying vibration of anxiety, but it's so much better. Oh my God, I'm a belchy burpy girl, guys. I'm so sorry. Because I don't have somebody breathing over my neck, like literally peering over my shoulder, seeing what I'm working on, scolding me if they see me on my phone for more than a minute. Like what, half the time I'm just trying to set up a podcast or set up a bit of a music playlist to keep me entertained. And they're like, Sarah, off your phone. Like the eye just, it boils my blood even talking about this. Like me literally looking over at my boss being like, is there anything else I can do? Like I still have 3 hours left that I'm clocked into work and I have nothing else. Like I've done everything you've asked me to do. In those situations, I really truly feel like you should be able to just go. Like you got your work done? Great. Like quality over quantity sometimes, you know? It really does depend on the job. Obviously, if you're waitressing, you have to wait for your table to be gone. You have to wait for the pool to be closed. If you're a lifeguard. But like, just with other type of like corporate jobs, so to speak, it's like you have certain tasks per day and you're like incentivizing your employees. I would think it's like work hard, work fast, work diligently, get these 5 tasks done today, and then you can go. And whether that means you go at 2 p.m. or 6 p.m., that's up to you. But I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it's different with salary jobs and stuff. You have to work a certain amount of hours to be able to get a certain amount of money each year. But it's just, I just think of all these statistics of like most people spend more time with their coworkers than they do with their own children. And like most people don't have time to even like cook for themselves, to go to the gym, to meditate, like just to do regular stuff that I think is very important for people to be able to do in their day-to-day lives, just to have like a somewhat decent quality of life and like to be able to enjoy life instead of just literally flying off the seat of their pants, surviving life. I don't think we need to be thriving every single day, but I do think we should be somewhat enjoying most days and somewhat bettering ourselves and taking care of ourselves most days. Otherwise, it's like we're just rats in this rat race of life and the joke's on us, you know? It's like before we know it, we're going to be 80. I don't know. I'm being very existential right now, but I hope you guys see what I'm saying. So in some ways, I do find working from home to be a little difficult, and I'm going to get into that now because I did want to discuss kind of the pros and cons. Again, this is all just my personal opinion and experience. I'm not speaking for anybody else, but I do find it a little hard to find motivation. I'm scared my bosses are going to listen to this and get mad at me. Guys, I swear I'm a great worker. I'm a great hire. But I think everyone feels this way, and I don't think that this is a reflection on me as a person necessarily. I think it's just the reality of working from home and like having distractions and temptations and a lack of that authority figure right over your shoulder that sometimes makes me feel a little like less motivated. And also I think part of it is being able to choose your own hours. I think I'm like, oh, I'll just do this later this afternoon instead of right now. You know, oh, technically I'm supposed to be working on this project till 3 p.m., but I'm done it and it's 2:45 and nobody's here to notice, so I'm just going to clock off now. Like that type of thing. It's very tempting to kind of procrastinate a little bit and put things off and not organize your time as efficiently as people could. And I really do think that part of that is just that blending of your pleasure and your work life, because your home space technically should be a quote unquote sanctuary and it should be a place of amusement and pleasure and rest. But now a lot of people, it's like, including me, like my room is like, I'm really starting to resent this room. It's like where I sleep, where I have my alone time, but it's also where I work, where I record the news, where I have my meetings, where I write the podcast or record and write the podcast. Like I do everything in this room because I'm currently living with my dad and like he has his space and I have my space, and I'm starting to resent this room for that reason. So I think that's a little bit unhealthy when you don't have those clear boundaries. And I really recommend if people have the space, which is like nearly impossible in this freaking ridiculous economy we live in, but if you have the space in your apartment or house to like have your own designated office or your own little workstation that's away from like your room, away from your kitchen, away from your living room, I think that's the best way to go about it. And then I think for a lot of people, like it's good to have a gym membership, or for me, I go and teach dance 2 or 3 nights a week. So that's kind of my escape from my apartment. But like, I think you do need to have something to get you out of the house at least once a day, whether that be like a gym class you go to, or like a second job you go to, you know, whether like for me, it's teaching dance. Like I go teach dance in the evening. So I drive, I leave the house, I interact with people, I see people, and then I go back. So it's like, I think I would be in a lot more of an unhealthy state of mind with working from home if I didn't have that escape. But I am glad on the flip side that I don't have to be out of the house for 8 hours a day in an office and then immediately go straight to dance and teach for 4 or 5 hours. How in the hell? I used to do that, guys. Like I used to do that a lot when I was younger, but I didn't have a dog. I wasn't happy and I wasn't fulfilled and I wasn't functioning. Like I did it because I was young and I was grinding, but like I would never want to put myself in that position again where I'm out of the house for literally like 12 hours, if not more. I have to pack all of my food for the day. I have to pack all of my clothes for the day. I don't even have time to like brush my teeth in between or like anything. Like it's just go, go, go. At least now it's like I have my chill me time sort of working from home, getting stuff done during the day, prioritizing things. And then I leave and I go spend the afternoon and the evening with my dance students. So it's kind of the best of both worlds right now. But yeah, that would be a recommendation I would have for someone who is finding themselves like going stir crazy at home, is to find something to take you out of the house at least once a day, whether that be like a coffee meeting with a friend, or even if you just go to a Starbucks or a local coffee shop and do a bit of work there. I don't think it's healthy to be in your house all day, every day, like to work out at home, to socialize at home. Like, I think it's good. But I also don't think it's healthy, to be quite honest, to be out of the house 50 hours a week in an office. I don't know if that's super healthy either. Again, it's just so situational, because if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a paramedic, like, I don't know why I can't think of non-medical jobs, like a construction worker, a hairstylist, like you have to be out of the house. You have to be on your feet doing things, working, like laboring, so to speak. I'm talking more so about jobs where it is an actual feasible option to work from home. That's sort of what I'm talking about, whether you be a social media manager, a recruitment person, you know, a bookkeeper of some sort, whether you work as an assistant. But then a lot of older folks, like my dad, really don't see the appeal in working from home. And he's retired now, and he misses going into the office every day and like having that routine, having that socialization. I'm like, don't be a hater just because your generation didn't think to do this. But I really do, like, I've talked to a lot of my friends about this, and a lot of them do work from home, or at least do part of the week at home, and they literally are never going back. Like, they're like, I don't care. And the workforce is quite desperate for people right now. And it's hard because a lot of the jobs where they're finding shortages of people are jobs where it's not work from home. Like, that is how popular it is to want to work from home. And I think these other companies, these other jobs, whether it be waitressing or construction work or retail work, like, they need to find other things to incentivize their employees to want to come in and work, whether that be better benefits, better pay, better perks of some sort. Like, there is a reason why so many people don't want to work out in the real world. Like, it's not fun. Customers are so, like, abusive. Bosses are often just really, like, taking advantage of their staff, or CEOs or whatever, just taking advantage of their staff. They're not being paid adequately. They're not getting proper breaks. They're not getting enough time off. They're not getting sick days. They're not getting holidays. They're just not feeling appreciated. And I think my generation, especially with the pandemic, kind of realized, like, life is short and life is unpredictable. I don't want to spend the majority of my life slaving away in some 9-to-5 that I'm not even passionate about. That's not going to enhance my prospects in this life. It's just going to lie in someone else's pockets. And I'm probably going to be micromanaged, condescended, criticized. Like, I can't tell you how many bosses I've had that just micromanaged me, like literally second guessed everything I did. Like, I would do something I was tasked to do, and they would come back and be like, actually, I'm just gonna do it myself because I like to do it this way, not this way. Or just like whatever. It was like they wouldn't properly train me, they wouldn't properly teach me how to do something. They just expect me to know it, and then when I give it a go, it's like, oh, I thought you would have known this or whatever. It's just, I'm sick of that. Like, I'd rather have my own privacy and my own space to kind of get confident with a job on my own. And like, I think it's just my anxiety, to be honest. Like, I just, that performance anxiety of like having to go into an office and like not wanting to disappoint people, not wanting to get in trouble for something, not wanting to, you know, like if I had to stop and get gas, or if the weather was bad and I was going to be late, the anxiety I would feel being like, oh my God, I'm going to walk into the office and everyone's going to see that I'm 5 minutes late. Like, that's so embarrassing. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get called in for a meeting. Like, you don't have to worry about any of that shit when you're working from home. You know, it's just nice. It's just a little bit, for me, for my type of personality, it's just a little bit more soothing. And I actually find I function a lot better working from home because I don't have all those anxieties and all of those worst case scenarios and judgments and stuff like floating through my head. But with that being said, there are some cons, and I did talk about some of those. Like, but then there's also some pros, guys. Like, think about how much money you're saving on gas, on parking. Like, I know some people who have to pay for parking because they work downtown, and it costs them like hundreds of dollars a year just to park for their job. It saves you potentially getting sick and being exposed to other people like out in the workforce, especially when I would work at like in the public sector, whether it be at a museum or a restaurant. Like, the amount of rando people I was exposed to every day is like, I would get sick all the time because it's just, there's no protection, you know, even if you wear a mask or whatever. Like, it's just, it's not great in that sense. And then A lot of times you're saving money on food because you're not eating out, you're not picking up takeout on your way to or from work or during lunch. Like, you're able to make your own food from home and kind of utilize the ingredients you have in your fridge. So I really do think there's a lot of perks. In fact, I really do think there's more pros than cons, especially if you have a dog or you have a child and you want to be able to spend time with them and also make a little bit of income. Like, I really just think it's the tits, to be honest. And that's just me, and maybe I'm biased. I have the utmost respect for anyone who does go in and work proper shifts, especially people who do like shift work, like whether it be night shifts, whether you're like an engineer of some sort or a doctor or a taxi driver or a security guard, like whatever it is that you do, I have like mad respect. I just know myself and I'm self-aware enough to know that like it's just not for me. And I did pay my dues, guys. Like, I'm almost 27. I've worked so many jobs. It's not like I'm one of those girls who just like became an influencer when I was 19 and like never had to work a real job. Like, I've worked so many jobs. And this is the first time in my life. Sorry, the train is just wanting to be heard on 20-somethings podcast. Hi, train. This is the first time in my life I've ever gotten to work from home like full time. And I manifested this shit. Like, I prayed for this. And I knew that this was for me because in my train, really? Sorry, my dad lives right beside a train station. Because in all of my other jobs where there was moments, like spans of time where I would work from home because of A, like maybe COVID or lockdown, or I was sick. So I'd be allotted to work like a week from home. Or sometimes I think the most I ever did would be like a month from home during like the lockdown. I fucking loved it. And I did not want to go back. Like, while other employees, some of them were like itching to go back into the office, like couldn't wait to go back, I was like, please God, like I'm sick. I think I need to do another week from home. Like, I loved it. And I just kind of knew, based on my reluctance and my absolute dread at going back into a physical workspace, like I just knew that it was the lifestyle for me. And I don't think I would have even realized that that's an option if COVID didn't happen. So I guess I'll wrap it up at that. I don't know if you guys enjoyed this episode at all or not. I'm not even sure how long I've been going on for, but I am finally back. I feel so much more inspired to do these podcasts. I think a huge part of it is because of those commentary channels that I've been watching and listening to. A few of them are Jordan Teresa. She's like this really cute British girl. She's hilarious. Toni Breanne. So that's T-O-N-I. She's this amazing, gorgeous black woman who like talks a lot about sort of just racial biases and colorism and stuff like that. And that's been really interesting as well. And then Stephanie Lang. I've talked about her before. I love her. She talks a lot about body dysmorphia and filters and editing and plastic surgery. So I've been expanding my horizons a bit and getting new ideas from these other creators. So I'm really excited to get back into it. Although this is just an audio episode, I'm still toying with the idea of just doing audio only for podcasts because it is so much more efficient, so much more relaxing for me to just be able to sit comfortably and record and not have to worry about the video camera, the lighting. Like, my camera dies all the time. Like, it's just a lot. I almost feel like YouTube, I just want to do separate content. But I don't know. But I think my video content has helped me get quite a few new viewers too. So I just don't know. But this one's audio only. I'm so sorry. I'm so burpy, guys. Like, I don't know what's going on. I had Lucky Charms for breakfast and they're just not sitting well with me. But I also had this new idea and I stole this from Jordan Teresa. She has a podcast called Voice Notes and she does like every new episode. She starts by talking about like the book she's currently reading, the song that she currently has on repeat, the TV show she's currently watching, and a quote of the day. Actually, it's Toni Breanne who does a quote of the day. So I'm going to do those things every single episode. I'm going to start it with that, even though I totally fucking forgot today. So I'm going to do it right now instead. You guys probably aren't even listening anymore, but starting next week or whatever, I'm going to start doing that at the beginning of each episode and kind of giving my little recommendations because I'm a trendsetter, guys. And I'm here to not gatekeep. I mean, I actually do love gatekeeping. I'm not going to lie, but sorry, I got some text messages and I got distracted. Okay, so here is my quote of the day, you guys. I get all of these from Pinterest. This is from Nat Liu. If we don't say yes authentically, we say yes resentfully. And that leads to far... I butchered it. My brain is so tired from recording the news. Little journalist. Okay, sorry. Here we go again. If we don't say yes authentically, we say yes resentfully. And that leads to far more problems than when I tell you I have a fog over my brain right now, yikes. Okay, last time. If I don't get through it this time, it's just not meant to be, guys. I'm like literally slapping myself to wake up. If we don't say yes authentically, we say yes resentfully. And that leads to far more problems than if we'd said no in the first place. Boom. I think that's worth thinking about. The book I'm reading right now is called, where is it? The House Without Windows by Nadia Hashimi. Amazing so far. I'm only like one third into it. It's set in Afghanistan. It's about a woman. I mean, I don't know the full story, but it's about a woman who was in an extremely abusive relationship with a man who ends up dying. And I think you're trying to figure out whether she killed him in defense or whether someone else killed him, and she's getting blamed for it and she's in prison. I just find a lot of those writers who stem from Middle Eastern backgrounds or Muslim backgrounds are very, very beautiful writers and just have this natural, effortless writing ability. And even a lot of the poets from many years ago, like Rumi, I think it stems back to that. I think it's just part of the culture, part of the heritage. So just shout out to those amazing writers out there. I love reading stories that derive from the war, Afghanistan, Iran, different hardships. I mean, I shouldn't say I love reading those stories, but you guys know I love historical fiction. I love kind of political commentary books. I always want to expand my horizons and become a more empathetic, knowledgeable person when it comes to the plights of people around the world, what people have been through, what people have survived. And I just don't want to be in my little naive bubble. Like, I want to know what has gone on in history, and especially with women. Like, I want to be able to hear these stories of these amazing, strong women. And it's just very important to me to read books like that, even though they're hard to read and they're sad. And a lot of the times they don't have happy endings. I just think personally, it's important for me as an individual to like do my diligence as a privileged white woman in Canada. The least I can do if I don't have to live through these atrocities is to read about them and educate myself and have the bare minimum amount of knowledge on them. But that's just my opinion. The song I'm listening to on repeat right now is Dive by Olivia Dean. I fucking love her. She's amazing. Her voice is just like honey. One of my favorite songs ever is by her. It's called The Hardest Part. But she just came out with a new song called Dive, and it's just like really good vibes. It's like uplifting. It's sensual in a way. It's just a really nice spring summer energy. So you guys should definitely check that out. The show I'm watching right now, I'm kind of bouncing around a few. I'm watching the new season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I think that's what it's called. Marvelous. Yeah. I actually really like this show. I know it kind of like fell off the face of the earth in terms of popularity, but I've always liked this show. Although last season did not hit for me, but I prefer the new season. I love the writing. I think it's so clever. I think the costuming, the scenery, like everything is just so accurate. And like really, it really transports you into a different time. Like I genuinely feel like I'm back in the 60s, and I love that. One other TV show I'm also kind of watching on and off is Dickinson with Hailee Steinfeld. Also a really, really cool show. Another show that kind of really brings you back to another time, another era. It's set in the 1800s in Massachusetts. It's about Emily Dickinson. It's like a historical piece, and they really introduce other historical figures that you didn't even know existed, but you know of their accomplishments, if that makes sense. So like in the last episode I just watched, they brought in the architect who designed Central Park, and he was just like a random side character that they introduced for one episode. And he was talking about, oh yeah, I'm designing this new park in New York, it's gonna be great. And like, and then you realize that it's Central Park. It's like, wow, they like introduce these little characters, like other authors and other poets and other political figures. They introduce them for an episode or two, and then they like let them go on their way. And it's kind of cool in that sense. And then they also use really modern music and like modern slang and modern references, even though it's a dated historical piece. So it keeps it fresh. It keeps it fun. It's not like you're watching Downton Abbey, which I fucking love Downton Abbey, but it gives me more of like a Bridgerton energy in a way, although it's not like as corny as Bridgerton. So yeah, I hope you guys like that little segment. I'm going to do that, but probably in a way more condensed version. I kind of went on and on today, but I'm going to do that at the start of the show from now on, and hopefully you guys can get a few fun recommendations that way from me. That's it. I'm going to wrap it up here, guys. Make sure you subscribe, follow the show, like my videos on YouTube, leave a rating, leave a review, share this on your story on Instagram. That would be so helpful. You guys know all the things I ask you every single week, so I'm just like a talking head at this point, but make sure you take care of yourselves and be kind to yourselves and enjoy your 20s. Bye, guys. Have a good one. Love you.